Thank you, Mr. Seeker. I'll try not to disappoint you with enthusiasm this morning. You kind of put me on the spot now, so we'll have to pick it up a couple notches here. Well, good morning, brethren. Certainly a pleasure to be here on God's Holy Sabbath Day, the Feast of Trumpets. Definitely was a beautiful ride up. God definitely has blessed us with a gorgeous day, although we know He could probably do better. It definitely would be tough to make a more beautiful day than we had this morning. Brethren, we do know that we've been called by God to attend today the Feast of Trumpets. We know that this is a holy day, and we know along with holy days that we will take up an offering. So if you turn to Deuteronomy 16:16, we can do it a little bit differently and begin with this today, kind of set the stage for why we are here this morning. In Deuteronomy 16:16, it says, three times in a year shall all the males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, in the Feast of Weeks, and in the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessings of the Lord thy God, which he has given to you. So, brethren, at the conclusion of the sermonette, after the song, after the sermonette, we will take up the offering. God certainly appreciates all that we do give to Him and that we are to give based on the blessings that we have. So if at any time you do need an envelope after the sermonette during the song, there will be ushers that will be able to give you the envelope to take up God's offering. So again, we are blessed to be here on the Feast of Trumpets. It is a holy day, and we are blessed. 67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Many of you probably realize and recognize that as the beginning to the Gettysburg Address, which was a speech written by our U.S. President Abraham Lincoln, and it was delivered during the American Civil War on the afternoon of Thursday, November 19th, the year was 1863. The speech was delivered at the dedication of the Soldiers' National Cemetery in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and it was 4.5 months after the Union armies defeated the Confederacy at the Battle of Gettysburg. Abraham Lincoln, as he always did, carefully crafted this address, and it was actually a secondary presentation to many other addresses that were given that day, but it is often regarded as one of the most greatest speeches in American history. It's been reiterated several times throughout history. In just over 2 minutes, the length of the speech, Lincoln reiterated the principles of human equality espoused by the Declaration of Independence. He proclaimed the Civil War as a struggle for the preservation of the Union and for the new birth of freedom that would be the true equality that it would bring to all citizens. Lincoln also redefined the Civil War as a struggle, not just for the Union, but for the principles of human equality. Lincoln continued on in the Gettysburg Address and says, now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. Just as Lincoln and the nation in 1863 were at war, brethren, we are still at war today. Some are fighting a physical war, as the Union and Confederate soldiers did on the battlefield at Gettysburg. And others are fighting a spiritual war against our adversary, Satan the devil. Lincoln talked about the Civil War during his speech in Pennsylvania. And now we hear presidents continuing to talk about a war. Not a civil war, but a global war. And whether it be a spiritual or a physical war, or whether it be a civil or a global war, all conflict, as we know, is a result of Satan's influence over all of humanity. Satan began influencing man to turn from God way back at the beginning, way back in the Garden of Eden. However, the stage for that conflict was actually set before the Garden of Eden, when Satan, or then Lucifer, attempted to overthrow God. We can read that account. We won't turn there, but we can read that account in Isaiah 14. But we know that Satan at that time was not successful. In Luke 10, again, we won't turn there, but in Luke 10, it said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. So in that attempt, initial attempt to overthrow God, he was not successful. He was cast out. He was cast out of the heavens like a bolt of lightning, Jesus Christ says in Luke 10. Satan realized that he realized what God had planned for all of mankind. He also understood that he was not going to be able to overtake God. He tried. He wasn't successful. He knew he wasn't going to be able to do it. So what did he do? He began to attack us. He began to try to attack the plan that God had rather than God himself. And one of those ways in which Satan works to destroy humanity is through ongoing wars. If you turn to James 4, James chapter 4 and verse 1, it kind of sets the stage for wars and quarrels. In James 4 verse 1, it says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they just come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Brethren, these wars will continue. They'll continue throughout time. Started way back in the Garden of Eden. They're going on now, and they will continue. We know that. They will not end until Jesus Christ returns at the sound of the last trumpet. In Revelation 11, verse 15, we read about the sounding of that trumpet. Revelation 11, verse 15, it says, the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever. In verse 16, it says, and the 24 elders who were seated on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who is, and the one who was, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come. The time has come for judging the dead and for rewarding your servants, the prophets, your people, who revere your name, both great and small, and for destroying those who destroy the earth. And finally, verse 19, it says, then God's temple in heaven was opened, and within his temple we see the Ark of the Covenant. And there came flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, an earthquake, and a severe hailstone. The blasting of the trumpet in biblical times had multiple purposes. We can see that here the trumpet signifies a time of joy, a time of celebration, a time of jubilation when Christ returns. But we can also see that the trumpet was used as a signal of time of war. It was used to announce the beginning of a war, which we can also see in this particular section of Scripture. When Christ returns, he will be met with resistance, so to speak. He will have to destroy those that have destroyed the earth, and he will have to destroy those that attempt to destroy him at his return. As we read on in the Gettysburg Address, it says, we have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who gave their lives that the nations may live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate. We cannot consecrate. We cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. Brethren, our brothers have fought before us. Some physical wars, others spiritual wars. But they have all fought because of Satan. We know that we too will face wars. They will increase as we move towards the end time and the sounding of that seventh trumpet. Satan knows he cannot beat God or Jesus Christ. So he's going to try to beat us. We know that. Many have died throughout the history of mankind, and many more will likely die as a result of Satan as he creates turmoil, as he leads the many nations into war. whether it be a physical war, or whether it be a spiritual war against Him. Although times will get tough, we know that God and Jesus Christ will again be victorious over Satan. Continuing on in the Gettysburg Address, it says, "The world will little note, nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what we did here. It is for us, the living, rather to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced." Brethren, we know that Jesus Christ came to the earth. He came to the earth to live in the flesh. As part of His ministry, He set the example for us. He set the example for how we should live our lives and how we need to endure until that end time comes. We know that if we follow Him and that we live by His ways, at some point, a point we don't know, He will return a second time. And when He does, He will defeat Satan and establish God's kingdom. Just as the death that occurred at Gettysburg did not end the Civil War, the death of Jesus Christ didn't end the war against Satan. Christ only began. He's only begun as He lived in the flesh as a man. His work will not be complete until after His return. And then there'll still be work to do. Lincoln's address continued a little bit further. It said, "It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave. The last full measure of devotion, that which we highly resolve, that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth." Brethren, we do have a great task before us, a task that began when Jesus Christ came the first time in His earthly ministry, a task that has begun as we live now, and a task that will continue when the Feast of Trumpets is fulfilled and the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings returns at the sound of that seventh trumpet. Brethren, Jesus Christ did set the stage for our glorious future in God's kingdom during that first time here on earth. Our world will be on the verge of destruction prior to His return. Just as our nation required a new birth following the tragic events of the Civil War, our entire world will also need a rebirth following the catastrophic events of the end time. Our rebirth will be carried out by Jesus Christ under the direction of God the Father. Our future government will not be a government of the people. It won't be a government by the people. It won't be a government for the people in the sense that it is now. But what it will be is a government of Jesus Christ and God the Father for all of humanity. The seventh trumpet will serve a dual purpose, as it often did in biblical times. Brethren, it will signify great joy. It'll signify great jubilation, as we will finally have our Savior and King here to reign over the world. But it will also signify a time of war, as Jesus Christ is engaged in a battle as He establishes God's kingdom. In John 14, verse 3, it says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also." In 1 Thessalonians 4:16, we're going to hear this one again very shortly. Mason, pay attention. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, it says, "For the Lord Himself will descend with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." So brethren, at the sound of the seventh trumpet, Christ will fulfill John 14:3. He will fulfill 1 Thessalonians 4 and multiple other scriptures that's contained within the Bible. And He will come, and again, and He will fix the broken world in which we live. As we look forward to the Day of Atonement and the Feast of Tabernacles, we can find great joy in knowing that the Day of Trumpets will be fulfilled, Christ will return, and He will finish the work that He started.